Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kehan. Today, we'll discuss the article by Lipowski et al. Titled, Shedding of the Glycocalyx and Capillary Hemodynamics. This article published online ahead of print September 16, 2011. My guests today are Editor-in-Chief Bill Stanley, Senior Author Herb Lipowski, and leading expert Jos Spahn. Let's get started.
Thanks, Kara. The endothelial surface is coated with a layer of polysaccharide called the glycocalyx that provides a barrier to molecular exchange and blood endothelial interactions. And it's well known now that if you remove the glycocalyx, it reveals that it's a prime determinant of numerous physiological and hemodynamic processes. And importantly, maintenance of the glycocalyx prevents many pathological processes. The study we're discussing here today examined the effects of shedding the glycocalyx on microvascular hemodynamics and capillary resistance to flow using a model that mimics key aspects of acute vascular inflammation. Herb, what do you see as the key findings of your study, and what's the take-home message for non-experts in the field?
I think that the key message is that the endothelial surface layer, or glycocalyx as it's often referred to, is a labile structure whose composition reflects a balance of the continued biosynthesis of new glycans and shear dependent alterations in its composition. Now, with that in mind, we've attempted to tie together numerous observations from individual experiments that looked at changes in hemodynamics in response to, say, stripping off components of the glycocalyx with various enzymes, mainly heparinase, to remove the heparin sulfate domains. And several studies in that regard have shown that there is a subsequent increase in hematocrit as one removes the heparin sulfate proteoglycans from the surface of the endothelium. And studies have also shown that there is a shedding of glycans, an increased permeation of the glycocalyx to macromolecules and approaching of blood cells to the surface of the endothelium in response to various cytokines. Well, we've tried to put this together in the context of the inflammatory response by using a fairly well-defined model of inflammation, that is topically applying this chemoattractant FMET-LUFI or FMLP to simulate the inflammatory response. And what we found was that indeed there was a change in composition of the endothelial surface layer as reflected by a 20 to 30% reduction in lectins bound to the surface. We did not see a change in capillary hematocrit. There was no real noticeable redistribution of flow throughout the network, but there were significant changes, reductions in the barrier to infiltration of the glycocalyx by macromolecules in all divisions of the network, arterioles, capillaries, and venules. So indeed, there was a significant decrease in resistance in these capillaries in response to activation of the endothelium with FMLP.
Jos, what do you see here as the real innovation and strengths of the study?
Let me start by saying that I was impressed by all the experimental techniques that were applied. From that point of view, a beautiful study.
Thank you, Jos.
Let me also state that when we submitted a paper to AGP about 17 years ago, talking about the effect of the glycocalyx on the microcirculation, the response was that there was no need for a new paradigm because they were still so old to discover with the old paradigms. Having said that, what I missed in the study, when looking at the resistance of the capillaries, then basically what you assume is that there is a linear relationship between pressure and velocity. And what we did a while ago was that we measured capillary flux versus velocity in capillaries, and that was not linear in the sense that in the presence of a glycocalyx, there is a kind of a yield velocity. So the capillaries are considered linear in their hemodynamic parameters, which I think they are not. Then in another study, because the leukocytes are important in this study, we demonstrated that if a white blood cell is transferring through a capillary, then basically it pushes away the glycocalyx, and That allows the red cells to be much more closer together behind a white blood cell when it travels through a capillary than when it is behind a white blood cell. I would expect that behavior to change when the glycocalyx has been shed, as is done in this study. And I wonder whether Herb has some observations that are in line with those earlier observations.
Your point about the shear dependency of resistance changes is very well taken. And indeed, when we look at the resistance changes in this study as a function of shear rate in capillaries in the normal state without FMLP being on there, there is indeed an increase in resistance with diminishing shear rate. And we agree with that study that you participated in, but with I think it was with Weinbaum et al., that indeed, as you reduce shear rates, the glycocalyx can relax and extend further into the lumen and thus has the potential for sequestering more fluid and increasing the resistance to flow. So in that regard, I think that there's indeed a considerable basis for examining in further detail the formability characteristics of the glycocalyx during a variety of disorders, whether it be inflammation or onset of a low flow state.
The other thing what I remember from your manuscript is that FMLP would change the charge of the glycocalyx, and at least the charge on the red cells. So basically the difference in charge between red cells and glycocalyx are an important factor in capillary hemodynamics. So my basic question is that the role that you give to the white blood cells may be overstretched in the sense that you do not include other factors that may have been affected by FMPL at the same time.
Well, that's a good point, that you're suggesting that the initial increase in resistance to flow that we observe in response to FMLP could be affected by factors other than activation of leukocytes or stiffening of the leukocytes. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Yes, okay. Well, I think that, first of all, FMLP is very quickly acting, and indeed there could be some signaling events that indeed affect the immediate charge or composition of the glycocalyx that might indeed, maybe it causes a transient thickening. I think something like of that nature needs to be worked out in greater detail, although it's a possibility. But we've really just focused in on the effect on the leukocyte deformability because that's fairly well established. Other studies in the literature have taken leukocytes and either ex vivo and put them in after activation or have topically applied FMLP to show how quickly leukocytes can be sequestered once they're activated with FMLP.
Where do you think the future work in this area needs to go?
I think that there are plenty of opportunities for future research in this area. There are many unanswered questions with regard to the structure, the deformability, and the control of glycan content on the surface of the endothelium. And I think that the opportunity is ripe for additional funding in this area, and with that would be most fruitful in delineating the basis for many pathologies.
Jos, do you have anything to add?
Increasing funding is always good.
But why? Why?
I think it's important, and that would also help to increase the funding, if we can make clear to our pathologists how this kind of research is really directed. So this study is, as I said it in the beginning, it's a very nice study. It talks about specific effects, but the relation to disease is not very well outlined. And I think that, for example, it has been shown important to diabetics. And I think diabetes is certainly an area where the glycocalyx should be studied much more closely.
Herb, Jos, I want to thank you for a very interesting discussion and look forward to future work. Thank you.
And to our readers, thanks for listening to the AJP Heart and Circ podcast series.